minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Well, the Nuggets lost last night to the Utah Jazz, 122 to 110. There was a fear, though, that they had lost a lot more than that. And joining me now, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Man, this is a great way to start the show. We get Chris Dempsey on, man. We are packing a punch today.
What's going on, man? Yeah.
Man, Chris, I know Joker didn't come back in the second half. He wanted to. But could you just feel Nuggets Nation? Like, there was a cloud over the entire halftime when we were wondering what was going on with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, you know, and you know, there's always these moments, you know, especially when you're watching it on TV, there's always these moments where, you know, you didn't see the injury, but what you see is the player kind of writhing in pain on the court or on the field, whatever the sport is. And until you see exactly what happened, you are just holding your breath. And I think you had pretty much everybody who's a Nuggets fan, everybody who is a Nuggets fan was holding their collective breath until I think the replays kind of showed that knee-to-knee action. And, you know, when I saw that, it was a big sigh of relief. I didn't think he was coming back into this game because I've seen that situation before in basketball games. And, you know, some players have come back, you know, just kind of depends on how hard the knee-to-knee hit was. And just the way that one kind of went down, Jokic really took a really good shot, knee-to-knee shot there. I didn't think he'd come back, but I also knew looking at that, okay, it's not as if he's going to be gone. He's not going to miss a significant chunk of the season here for a knee injury, probably a bone bruise, which is what they said it was. And then we'll see if he's able to come back and return. I mean, he tried to return in that game last night. He warmed up at halftime to try to come out and play. And, you know, basically the decision was made to just hold him out. And, you know, because they need him for 82, you know, the second half of the fourth game of the season, that just doesn't matter, you know, compared to having him the lion's share of the 82 games this season.
So, Chris, nothing serious, maybe not Friday, but are you seeing, you know, a few games that Joker will sit out, or do you think he'll probably even be back Friday?
You know, I think he probably has a chance to be back on Friday. Just kind of, you know, those contusions, we're talking about here is just a real deep bone bruise. And, you know, so it just kind of depends on how the pain is able to be worked out in the next couple of days with treatment and just rest. I mean, you know, it's a bone bruise, and, you know, what are you going to do? You have to rest it. And, you know, so if that can, you know, heal up to a level that allows him to perform, that he feels allows him to perform, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on Friday. But also I've seen where some of these cases where, a situation like this ends up, you know, costing a player, 2 to 3 games before they're able to come back, you know, basically a week's worth of time. So, for the Nuggets, it's a positive that they have a couple of days before their next game to really see if they can get him ready. And it was also a positive that he even tried to come back into last night's game. So those two things, given those two things, I'd lean towards seeing. I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there on Friday, but there's been no official word, and we'll just have to see.
Yeah, well, man, Chris, I mean, talk about his game he was having. He played 15 minutes, hit 24 points. He was getting boards. He was getting 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He was setting up to surely be that first triple-double of the season for the Joker, but then he goes down. It just goes to show you that when this guy is on, he is almost unstoppable.
He was still the game's leading scorer.
Right. It's just insane to me.
Yeah. That's all you need to know about Nikola Jokic is just how good he is. In 15 minutes, he was still the game's leading scorer and players that had played 30 to 35 minutes or more in that game. And you're right. I mean, he had a full game's worth of stats in just 15 minutes. 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Now, Utah just cannot stop him, you know, you know, we always kind of go into that matchup looking at the Rudy Gobert versus Jokic matchup, but this is going to be really good. And Jokic just torches him every time now. I mean, this is just, It's beginning to be a movie that we've all seen before. And he was going to put up a big number last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you do 24 points in 15 minutes, and boy, that's only a half, maybe less than half of what he would play in a game. That was going to be one monster of a number that he was going to put up. And yeah, to your point, it was most definitely going to also be a triple double as well before he was injured. And so, but yeah, I mean, he's the MVP for a reason. You know, he continues to show us. You know, consistency in production. And that's really, really difficult for a lot of players, you know, sometimes is, yeah, can I have a good day, a good week, a good month? Yeah. Can I do this for a season? Maybe. Can you do it for multiple seasons? Can you do it over and over and over again? Can you do it when the entire defense is tilted to stopping you? Nikola Jokic, it doesn't matter. He can put the points up, all the stats up, and then also his stats impact victories in a way that many other players don't.
Now, Chris, we always ask the question, you know, hey, what is this Nuggets team without Joker? That was a lot of our, you know, debate last year as far as the MVP. You take some of these guys off of teams, and yeah, maybe they're much, much worse, but you take Joker off this team, and boy, it's a scary conversation to have, and you got to see that in that second half. You tweeted out this, and I agree 100%, talking about Monte Morris. It's great when he can find that shot. That was important. Barton was having had a nice game with 21 points. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen with Michael Porter Jr. I mean, he's had, you know, he's getting those other stats, 9 boards, but so far the scoring has not been there.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, for him, I think he's going to have to, it's not going back to the drawing board time. But he has to keep himself active, I think, over the course of a game. You know, he went and worked out with a week with Steph Curry, in the summer. And, you know, we talked about that on the show a little bit. One thing that Steph Curry, never allows to happen is if he has a bad stretch of time or bad quarter or even a subpar half, he continues to play at a high level, knowing good and well that at some point the fortunes are going to turn and he's going to be able to have the kind of game he wants. And even if he doesn't, you know, the Golden State Warriors earlier this, maybe I think it was the first or second game this season, Steph Curry ends up with a triple double at the end of that game. He shot the ball horribly in that game, and after the game, he says, "Oh, I played like trash." Well, but you didn't because you had 20 plus points and a triple double. But that goes to show you what he is never letting bad shooting or tough defense or just anything that would be an adverse circumstance get him off his game. And I just think that's where Michael Porter Jr. Has to get himself, and you know he's a young player still, and he's just a young person, and so it's you know these are lessons that just young people have to to realize and to go through to understand how they need to carry themselves even through their times of greatest challenge.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. It was a tough ending to see this. You were hoping this team could pull through. They had their moments. Boy, I like it when Aaron Gordon is attacking the rim, and you were seeing that last night. I mean, you always see this, Chris. You see this in certain games. Guys like Joker, you see it every night. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do every single night. But you want to see the Porters, like you just talked about, get to that point where they're doing it on a nightly basis. Aaron Gordon's one of those guys I look at and say, man, that's a mental thing. Just go. Just be that aggressive guy and attack. I think good things are going to happen more often than not if you do.
Yeah, you know, the thing that struck me about last night's game was a lot of the performances. It was, you know, from Aaron Gordon to Monte Morris to Will Barton. Those three individuals in particular were playing straight to their strengths, every single one of them. And, you know, and once they got to the spots on the court where they're most comfortable at, then the production just followed. And for Aaron Gordon, yeah, you're right. It's the explosiveness to the rim. I know he would like to be able to hit that mid-range jump shot a little bit more, you know, whether it's a step-back situation, whether it's a, getting a quick offensive rebound, put back in. You know, he needs to make those shots in and around the paint to a very high level, and then obviously run the court, finish with all the high-flying dunks, attack closeouts when he's standing in the corner, catches the ball in a closeout, attack that closeout and be able to finish at the rim as well. And when he's able to just do that on an every single night basis, then that's when his production goes exponentially up. And the effectiveness of the Nuggets offense goes exponentially up as well. And so I thought if from those three guys, and obviously Aaron Gordon included, just getting straight to their strengths all game long was a big deal. And each one of them having a really nice night.
Chris, what can the Nuggets do about the bench at this point? You know, we're looking at it early. Again, we're four games in. There's still a lot of things to kind of fill out as we get, you know, this early portion of the season. But, you know, I know, Coach, you talked to us a little bit about this last week, too, was kind of staggering some of the starters back. But with Joker, without Joker, there's a concern about the bench right now.
Yeah, and if there's no Joker in there, then that's a problem with the stagger because he can't stagger. And then if Michael Porter Jr. isn't playing well, it doesn't matter if you stagger him in or not. You know, I mean, he's not impacting either the first unit or the second unit. And so him being one of the starters that have held over into the second unit on any given night that he's not playing well, that makes it that much tougher as well. So, you know, the Nuggets, I think we're just going to continue to see them stagger this stuff. And, you know, at some point, I would also expect to see more of Bones Highland because he appears to me to be, the one card right now that they really haven't used to a significant degree. And he is a player who can just walk right on the court and get you buckets. You know, I mean, and I think everybody on the team knows that. And so I think we'll see. You know, we'll see. Coach Malone is making a decision in terms of, experience. You know, what he wants the rookies to experience or not. But there probably will become a point at which you just have to look at what's happening. And if we get 3-4 weeks into this thing, and we're still talking about an inconsistent bench effort, an inconsistent scoring off the bench, and how are they going to remedy that, then you just got to put Bones on the court and see if he can. Because, he seems to right now, he was this in summer league, he was this in preseason, and then when they put him in the other night against the San Antonio Spurs, he was able to walk right in and get buckets. And I can't stress enough, you know, the players, this is not every player that can do that. You know, and when you have one of those type guys on your team, it's like watching Jordan Clarkson. He just comes right in and gets buckets. These types of individuals are not plentiful. And so when you have them, eventually you got to put them on the court, especially when you're in a situation where your bench isn't giving you consistent efforts on a night-to-night basis.
So, Chris, we see, like you said, we saw Highland the other night. Why not last night?
That's a good question. You know, it really is a good question. I know that there is Michael Malone has shown us this over the course of his entire tenure here in Denver, and that is he's going to give the veteran every opportunity to play himself back into a good form before he pulls the plug on that particular player. So, if you're in the guard, two guard spot, if you're in Austin Rivers, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. PJ Dozier, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. So Michael Malone has shown in the past that he is going to let these players play through some of the struggles to get to the good stuff. And it's going to take a lot of bad film or a lot of subpar performances before he makes a change that feels more permanent in his mind. And so I think that's what we're dealing with here with Bones, because, you know, we talked about this prior to the season, you know, because when Bones was really playing well in the preseason, and the question when I went through the roster was like, I can get to 10 players before I even get to Bones on the roster, and those 10 players don't even include Jamal Murray. And so, when you're looking at a roster of guys that are ahead of you, then it's going to just take some time before he's able to get his opportunities. He got a little small one in the Nuggets' last home game, and I think that we'll start to see these come with a little bit more frequency going forward, especially if the bench continues to struggle, because he's the kind of guy who can definitely be a difference maker.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. You know what? It's so far, it's a young season, but what are your thoughts about this Nuggets team? And we knew, hey, this is going to be an adjustment still without Jamal Murray, and got to see that last year, of course, but we're just kind of waiting to see what, you know, when that date is down the road, a few months down the road. But what do you see for this team, Chris? Do you see this team kind of floating around that, you know, top four spot in the West, top six? Or do you think, man, they got to stay above water until Jamal Murray gets back, and then they start really pushing?
Well, I think if they play defense the way they've been playing defense, I think they can float around the top four. You know, 4 to 5, right in there. You know, the Western Conference to me is an interesting place, and you know, it's the teams that I think, I don't know that many people saw quite coming. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to figure into this equation a lot in a big way over the course of the season, and then the Golden State Warriors. Those are two teams right there are going to figure into this as well. So can the Nuggets hang around the top four or five? Yeah, I think they can, because you're still talking about the Lakers. The Lakers are getting things figured out. The Clippers, it's going to be a tough go for them without Kawhi Leonard. They're in a similar situation to what the Nuggets are in. And then right now you have the Mavericks and the Timberwolves both off to 2-1 starts. But I don't think anybody expects Minnesota to continue to play very high level basketball all season long. Although, you know, they have some good young talent there, but maybe the Mavericks will. So games against these kinds of teams where the Nuggets will be more important. But I really have liked the defense they've played. So if they can continue to play that kind of defense, transfer that defense to offense, they really are playing some a style of basketball similar to some of the Nuggets teams in the past. Get out, get the ball, and run. Now, their fast break points have been really high in most of these games here to start the season, and they owe a lot of that to their defense. They get the miss, they get the board, they get it out, and try to get in transition and finish with an easy bucket somewhere. So if those things can continue, they can cut down on the turnovers permanently. I mean, the turnovers are just killer, especially against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like what they're able to do. I like what they're able to do. And we'll see. You know, it's a long season, but they're going to have Joker, man.
Sure.
they have to have him. If he misses significant time with various injuries, then obviously I think things begin to be really problematic.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty terrifying. Life without Joker. We're getting close to Halloween, Chris, so I guess that makes sense. It's scary. Chris, what time does you guys have the game Friday, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we do, against the Dallas Mavericks. So back at Ball Arena, Dallas Mavericks, we will be on at 7:30. That is an 8 o'clock game, I believe, on Friday. So our pregame show will be 7:30. And I'll be on the set there with Vic and Hands for pre and halftime and post game as well. It should be fun, man. The Nuggets and the Mavericks play some fun games. They just have they match up really well. The styles match up really well, and Luka obviously is definitely a draw for everybody to come to see. And so it should be a lot of fun, man. But 7:30 on Friday night.
Looking forward to it as always, my friend Chris. Appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. On the Rocks Liquor, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. Our game beer of the week is from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Tree Shaker Mango IPA. You can pick up selections from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive through. It's open until midnight. Got the free tastings on Friday going on 4 to 6. This Friday, the great folks from eCorp Distributors will be on hand. That's On the Rocks Liquor, the best liquor store around. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Our Power to Play sports poll question: are you in or are you out on Steve Adazio? CSU, just CSU football, just shut out the media for the week. Kind of over us. Over all the media. Although I got to talk to Scott Patch on Monday, so whatever. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
What went into the decision to hold off the second half? I think, you know, I haven't had a chance to see him post-game yet, Mike, or really talk to the trainers yet. I don't think it's anything too serious. I went up to Nicola as he was warming up at halftime. How do you feel? He said it feels a little weak, and I just shut him down.
Sure.
I took the decision. It's not his decision to make. Nicola's a tough kid. We've seen him time and time again play through injuries. Never sit out. Second out of a back-to-back, he's far too important for this team for us to risk him being out there if he's not feeling confident about it. So set him down.
Well, there's Malone, Michael Malone, talking about shutting down Nikola Jokic at halftime of that game. Hey, for the bettors, if you were betting on the over for Nikola Jokic, so Joker had 24 points. The over-under, 24.5. I saw that before the game. There you go. And obviously, injuries, you know, I hate to be that guy that's like, oh, no, my fantasy team or my bets. But once you figured out that he was all right, you know, and then they said, oh, you're pulling him. I can see why people might be a little frustrated. It was the right move because you don't dare chance messing up Joker for one basketball game. You're 2-2. It's a very young season. You just hope that it's not a string of games because you could really fall behind. And listen, there were questions about this Nuggets team, you know, not being as strong without Jamal Murray, and that's totally a reasonable question. But, you know, with the situation without Joker, if he's going to miss two or three games, then you draw, you know, you're not going to win. I just don't see this team winning any games. I mean, okay, they'll win some games, but the Nuggets are not a playoff team without Joker. Even if Murray's on this roster, they are not a playoff team. And that's scary. That shows you how great Joker is, but that's a scary thing. And they're not a playoff team unless they get guys to absolutely produce the way they're supposed to. Bama Bear texting in, and then we'll take a break. MPJ's first five attempts need to be drives to the basket. Get to the foul line. See the ball go in the net. Tired of the catch and shoot threes. Need Gordon to keep doing what he did. The thing with Porter right now is he can be a non-factor and not really hurt the team. He could just be floating around. But they need him to be a factor. You're not paying him to just be a body on the floor. You're paying him to produce. His contract is not to play defense. It's not to have 8 assists, 10 rebounds even, although he's doing that. He's getting high rebound numbers. He is paid because he can score. He can shoot. They think he can score. So they need to get that figured out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Are you in or are you out on Steve Adazio? We'll talk about that later. We're going to talk to Mark Johnson coming up next, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. See if the Buffs are going up against Oregon this week. Gulp. But maybe we'll talk a little positive with the Buffs, and that means we're going to switch over to Tad Boyle's basketball team. So we'll talk about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, I don't care how bad the Buffs are. It's always great catching up with you.
Well, it's good catching up with you. You know what? We got an exhibition basketball game here in Boulder tonight, so let's just talk about that. What do you think?
Let's talk about that. I'm excited, man. I mean, I will ask you a couple of questions about the football side of it. We'll get through it together. But the basketball side, I mean, when you have Tad Boyle as the head coach, it doesn't matter if the McKinley Wrights of the world move on. And again, great player. Tad just continues to find ways to make his basketball team, you know, productive. And already in, you know, the preseason rankings, I was looking at ESPN the other day, just looking at, you know, March Madness predictions, and the Buffs are picked to go dancing.
Yeah, they got them. They were receiving votes in the preseason AP poll. And you know what Tad has done? He has done. He's done something in this day and age that a lot of people don't have the patience for. Now, he came in and started out his career here, obviously, doing very well. Year number two, winning a Pac-12 championship in his first year of the Pac-12, second year of the program. But what he's done, he's built this thing the correct way, and you need patience for that at times. And we've talked about it on the show. There have been people that over the years have said, "No, we need to find a new coach." And I kept saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. This guy is the guy. He's building it the right way. He's putting a foundation on it. There's a culture that's been built here. He's done it a certain way. There's a system. There's an expectation. He doesn't, build his program on transfers. He does it recruiting guys and developing them. Look, all the guys that are in the NBA right now. And so he's done a phenomenal job of building that. And everyone knows what Colorado basketball is. It has an identity. It rebounds. It plays defense. It develops guys. It's got great guard play over the years. And so, hence, when guys like McKinley Wright, who goes down as an all-time great here at CU, when they leave, you don't have to go and rebuild, you reload. And I think he's gotten to his point, that point in his career now, where that's kind of what he's doing, and it's fun to watch.
So, Mark, tell us a little bit about what you expect. You know, who stands out to you on the roster? What do you fully expect from this program to be pretty competitive in the Pac-12, I'm guessing, then, right?
Well, I think so, without question. I think it'll be one of the top teams. I know everyone's talking about UCLA, and rightly so. They went to the Final Four last year and a very good team and return essentially everybody. But, Evan Batty's going to be the rock in the middle. That's going to be the upperclassmen they're going to build around. I think what we saw last year from some of the young guys is really going to be fun to watch them develop, because there is so much youth on this team. But keep an eye on Tristan Da Silva. That's the guy that I don't think a lot of people talk about, that I think is going to be a phenomenal piece of the puzzle. I think he's highly skilled. He's 6'10". He's gained some weight in the weight room now. He can play the 3. He can play the 4. He can play the 5. I think he'd probably play the 2 if he had to at different times. But he is highly skilled. He's got a high basketball IQ. He's just like his brother was at Stanford, who turned out to be a phenomenal player. I think he's a guy that's really going to be special when it's all said and done.
Talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, how do you think the Pac-12 in general? We talk about the football side of it all day, but you look at basketball. I mean, it should be a strong group as far as like those top 5 or 6 teams.
Oh, I think so. I mean, UCLA, we just mentioned. Colorado's going to be in the mix there. I think, Oregon, what they do up there and the way that they kind of rebuild that thing, just kind of restocking when they go out and find all the transfers and everything, I think they're going to be a very solid team. I think USC is going to be very solid as well. I think they're going to be in the top half of this league. And so, Arizona is going to be there. I know there's been a coaching change and they had some turmoil there, but it's still Arizona, for goodness sake. So, right off the top of your head, there's 5 or 6 programs, are going to be in the mix in this thing. And so I think it's going to be a very strong basketball year for the Pac-12. And they're going to need that because, football has not been great, obviously, this fall.
No, I think Buffs fans are ready to turn that page and get into some basketball. But on the football side of things, well, there was some movement. We're talking about the Broncos, on the other hand, saying, hey, are they going to make any changes? Is that coming? Well, here we go. The Buffs cannot get anything really going offensively consistently. And Carl Durrell moved on from his offensive line coach.
Yeah, he did. That wasn't a total surprise. I think if you were watching, you kind of figured that that was probably going to be one of the shoes that drops with this thing. Now, what difference does that make in the middle of a season? I don't know. I guess the proof will be in the pudding kind of moving forward, and we'll see what happens there. But I don't know how much that can really greatly affect anything, with 5 games remaining in a season. So I'm sure there will be some things. I mean, they'll change a few things, and sometimes there's a little bit of a spark energy-wise that, kind of happens when you make a move like that. So not a total surprise. But, I thought it was interesting on Monday when they asked about further changes, and he said everything is being evaluated. And I've been around this game long enough. That means they are turning every rock over. They're looking at everything and probably indicates that it's not the end of changes forthcoming. Now, are they going to do something else here in the middle of the season? I don't think so. I think whatever may come next will probably come after the season. But, it's one chess move, if you will, in a game moving forward for Carl Durrell. So my guess is they're probably not the last one. And, does that mean that, Mitch Rodrigue, who I liked very much, was the problem? No, might have been a contributing factor to what we've been seeing in the field. And so that's kind of the way I look at it.
It is always interesting to see, when you see a position or a side of the football, like the offensive side, the defensive side, to see if there is a move and where that move goes. Okay, we're pointing at the offensive line. That seems to be the issue. But From your standpoint, Mark, I mean, it seems like, yeah, we could talk about Brendan Lewis, too. But what are you seeing on the offensive side of the ball? I thought maybe for after a couple of weeks ago, maybe we were going to open this thing up with Arizona. I know special teams was great, but my goodness, you finally saw the offense go. So I thought confidence is coming in, and then you put up three against Cal.
You know, there's an old line. I've heard Gary Barnett use it many times in a broadcast. You don't make a straight line out of one or two points. There's got to be 3 points, right? And so you had one game where things looked better. And it's a sign of optimism when that happened. I didn't think to myself, oh, this thing is fixed. Now we got to see if there's another one. And then you look for that about the third one in a row. If you got for 3 weeks in a row, if you see some improvement, you're going, okay, we saw something there. I think what we saw against Arizona was, yeah, sure, they tried a few new things out there. And he had a young quarterback making some plays. I thought the offensive line held up relatively well. But, you know, in hindsight now, that was a blip 1 week. Last week, certainly, they didn't play to the same level. And so, look for a series of those kind of things. Don't look for one or two. And at this point, like I said, the middle of the season, I'm not sure how much you can actually change that. Now, by the way, Carl just had his little press briefing here a little while ago. I'm at the inter-practice facility right now, in fact, and said that Nate Lamon's not going to be playing this week. And, listen, that's not a good thing for Colorado, playing a team like Oregon, because that guy is such an enormously important part of what they do defensively and overall for that team. That's an enormous loss for Colorado, not having number 53 out to this weekend.
That's a tough one, no question. It's going to be a tall task anyway. You got a top seven in the country in Oregon. This team's rolling. It could get ugly this weekend, but like you said, we got basketball, Mark, so we can at least look at the positive side there.
Certainly, and I tell you what, this is going to be a great test tonight. I don't think that. You know, when you look at, Tad Boyle's team, I think they're extremely talented, and I think tonight's going to be a very good test for a young team because School of Mines is a very, very good Division II program. I just swallowed wrong. Excuse me.
Even the great Mark Johnson can have that. Wow.
I was eating some honey roasted peanuts before I walked up here. I should have done that. What I was going to say, though, about School of Mines, and this happened a few years ago. Tad had a very talented team, and School of Mines came in here for an exhibition and nearly beat Colorado because they come in. They're a veteran team. They play a very interesting system. And so his young players, Tad's young players, as talented as they are, still don't know what they don't know. And so this is a great scheduling move by Tad to have this exhibition game against a veteran lower-level team that's going to come up here and not care who the Colorado Buffaloes are, don't care how highly regarded their recruiting class is. They're going to come and play really hard with a chip on their shoulder and want to prove something against the higher-level team. And so it's a great test and I think a great learning experience for Tad's team tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, my friend. Mark, always appreciate you. And, you know, stay away from those peanuts, my friend, okay? At least before the broadcast.
I never eat stuff before broadcast for that very reason right there.
Well, our producer, Michael Kirkpatrick, back there will be very proud of you because he's always telling me, do not eat before you go on the air. He's been my coach for years. So it's been great.
And I generally don't, but yeah, during the day, I kind of sneak it in.
I can't blame you, man. Mark, appreciate you. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you.
Mark Johnson, that's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:47 the time. Take a short break. When we come back, Colorado State shutting out the media this week. What does it mean? Is the sky falling? Are they fed up? What is it? We'll discuss on the other side. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here today on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's tell you guys about Mosher Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley, Evans area. Let Mosher Family help you through such a very difficult time. They believe this. Hey, live well. Do your thing. But plan ahead. Get it done. Take care of it. And then your family doesn't have to worry about it. It's a terrible thing when you're grieving and you're also planning a funeral, going to the business, you're going to the cost of everything and deciding certain things. It's a tough thing to do, man. Trust me. Give Scott, Robin, or a member of their wonderful staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Colorado State football yesterday. They basically just said, hey, we're not going to have media today. I was seeing some of the other media guys out there, some of the writers, the beat writers for CSU, guys like Kevin Lytle, who we'll have on the show tomorrow. Eddie Herz from the Reporter Herald, you hear him on a weekly basis on Clark and the Coach. Eddie had tweeted out something that he was getting ready to have Todd Senteo. He was going to talk to him, do a story there. And then he tweeted out, never mind, CSU has cut off media availability for the rest of the week. Guess someone isn't too happy with us. Then Kevin Lytle retweeted that, commenting, saying, we arrived per usual Tuesday for CSU football practice, interviews only to be told no media access. It's a move that directly hurts fans who want information and stories on the team they support. Now, I used to go to practice on a weekly basis. I would try to get out once a week. Since Steve Addazio was hired, they moved practice. I was arguing with somebody about this the other day, someone that was in the know at CSU. They moved practice, and they end and get their media stuff out at 11. Well, that's in Fort Collins. I have a radio show on at 12, as you know, if you're listening. I was arguing with this guy who was like, no. I said, why do you guys move the practice to the mornings? The dude tells me, no, it's always been like this. And I said, no, it hasn't. And the guy said, well, that's how it was last year. I said, the media was cut off last year. We couldn't go to any practice last year. Well, and then I said, it wasn't during the Bobo era. Because my show, I've been doing since 2012, over the noon hour, I was able to go to practice. So, kind of hard for him to argue after that. Coach Bobo had afternoon practices. I would typically get interviews and clips and pictures and all that stuff around 5. So, I haven't been able to go out anyway, which is fine. I mean, I'm a radio show. I get the clips and all the quotes and all the stuff that I need from them actually talking on the air, and you guys can hear it. So, that's fine, whatever. But, I mean, I feel bad for the reporters on that side. Like, they're heading out to practice. They're there. Spend the money, the gas money, probably parking, I don't know, to go to practice. And then you're told, nope, we're not going to do it. You couldn't. So here's the deal. I heard Tanner talking to Miles Blumhardt from the Colorado. And, you know, again, I like Miles. But the way that conversation went, it was kind of like, the sky is falling. Like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. This is awful, an awful look. I get it. I'm not, listen, Kevin and Eddie, those guys, that's their living. They make their living off of quotes and getting inside scoops. That's how they do it. They make their, I make my living by giving you opinions on things that I read from those guys. I give opinions. Why we get interviews on. So I don't rely as heavily on quotes. This show can survive without consistent interviews with players and coaches. Certainly can. But the newspapers, I mean, that's what the stories are. Unless they're just going to sit and write opinions all day, and which you don't see all the time in newspapers. So, very interesting. I don't think the sky is falling. Now, if this is going to be the norm going forward, then yeah, maybe. If you're not going to allow any media access there to talk to the players and the coaches. But from what I know, a little birdie tells me, this isn't all like a Steve Addazio just dropping the hammer. Players are kind of frustrated, too, with what they're seeing on Twitter and such. Very interesting times. We'll talk more about that. Terrible move, or is it just like, meh, it's okay? We'll talk about that next. Also, Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network will join us. More on the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. All that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.